I just want to share with you that it's good to see that over a year that even as you get older, you can get your priorities in life right. Last year, when Hugh was here, we went fishing the next day, but he had to use my fishing outfit because he'd left his fishing pole in Westwood.
Had to borrow one.
So this year, he got his fishing pole, but he left his suit in Westwood. So we're glad that he got his priorities right now.
Yes. Okay.
You got it.
All right. Hi, boys and girls. I'm so glad to see you because you're going to help me. And I'm going to give each of you a penny. Got a penny? All right. And here, there you go. And I have enough. I had to go in my purse and find things. And I didn't get enough pennies, so I'm going to give you a dime. But it's kind of like a penny. And you too. All right. Now, what I'm going to have you do is sing along with me, because love is something. If you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something. If you give it away, you'll keep on having more. For it's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you don't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have many. They'll roll all over the floor. For love is something. If you give it away, give it away, give it away. Everybody, love is something. If you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something. If you give it away, you'll keep on having more. For it's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have many. They'll roll all over the floor. For love is something. If you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something. If you give it away, you'll keep on having more. Now, what are you going to do with your penny? What are you going to do? Okay, you're going to give it away. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay, well, you can go back to places now with my pennies. As I saw the children there, made me think back. My sister Carol is there, and she'll probably remember when I was about 6 or 7, I got a wristwatch, and Deacon Prater was praying for communion service, and I timed him. It was 17 minutes he prayed, and so he went on and on. So I've got a lot of memories sitting right here. I lived across the street in the greenhouse, and one of my first jobs was to bring wood in, and there were two big stoves, one in that corner and one here. And I'd bring all the wood in and pile it in the wood box, because Reverend Snyder would get up at 5 in the morning and come and start the stoves, so that it would be warm enough to have service here. So anyway, I've got a lot of good memories. And I was thinking about 69 years ago that I left in 48. I went to college and on to seminary and at 7 churches in about 40 years all over the country. But it's good to be here. But I was thinking what a beautiful situation you have with the rendition of the church, and different than I remember. In fact, we're having a snowball fight, I think, when I was about 8 or 9, and somebody broke a window. I don't know who did, but I always felt guilty that I did. Oh, and at about that time, you know, the bell tower here, you can see it a lot of places. So I remember I was thinking that's where God lived, and I could go borrow apples from a tree that I couldn't see the church steeple, so God wouldn't see me anyway. So I used to borrow apples from there. But anyway, I just have such great memories of being here, and it's just fun to be back. And I thought about the story. There's a story in a small town that had a large piece of property that was just terrible. The weeds grew on it, and there were just all kinds of
trash growing on it and everything. And so finally, John, who lived next door, said, I got to do something about that. So he started, he cleaned it up, and he plowed it up, and he planted it, and he planted flowers, and he planted a garden. It was just absolutely beautiful. And a lady came by about the middle of the summer, and she said to the lady who lived right next door, she said, isn't it wonderful what God can do with his world? And she said, yeah, but you should have seen it before my husband John decided to help him out. And so that's what I think about this sanctuary. A lot of people have helped out God in making sure that it's a beautiful place and it's a beautiful space in which to carry on worship and to carry on friendship. So we're going to start today with a sermon. About what to do. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, it seemed, see, I've got it right here someplace. And this is kind of fitting for me. This was written by a Lutheran seminary professor named Gerhard Frost up in Minneapolis, and some friends of mine in Billings were Lutheran pastors, and they had him as a teacher, and he said he was a neat guy. But this is from his book called Seasons of Life. I forgot my glasses today, left them at a friend's house, went to get them and forgot my hat. Went to get the hat, and on the way I met an acquaintance of many years, remembering the face but forgot the name. I looked for an excuse. I'm old, I said. Old, old, old. And I was angry and sad. But then I remembered something that I'd forgotten that I knew. Forgetfulness is a gift. One of the best of God's of our gift-giving God. Without it, what would we do? How could we travel this day's journey crushed by the burdens of the past and broken under an unbearable load? So, dear God, help us let go. Make us ready to relinquish the painful baggage of yesterday, the slurs and the slaps, the burns and the bruises. School us in purposeful forgetting. Didn't he have something to say? So school us in purposeful forgetting, because many times we don't want to remember all those things that happened. And as we think back about the history of our faith, God in old times talked to people, from Adam to Abraham to Moses, the Ten Commandments, the leaving of the people of Israel from Egypt. And a rabbi that spoke at our place in Plymouth Village, where I live down in Redland, just east of Los Angeles, we have a chapel every Friday afternoon. And Rabbi Hillel Cohen talked, and he had some just neat things to say. One of the things he said, you know, that in the history of our faith, the Hebrew people left Egypt and were headed for freedom. And he said, you know, we're still trying to get out of the slavery of things and headed toward freedom. And so each of us, in our own personal journeys, go through that task. Well, one of the things that I thought very specially was in Micah, one of the minor prophets, had these words to say. Because it's kind of what someone has said is the high point of ethical monotheism in the Old Testament. In other words, God alone is important, and Elijah to him is important. So listen to these words. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down for the God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, of 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Then he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly might be three things that we could do. And one thing that Rabbi Cohen said, which just kind of was funny, he said, you know, those of us in later years, we have to maybe come to terms with things that have happened to us, relinquish those things in the past. He said, you got to learn about forgiveness. He said, forgiveness is a very interesting thing. People like to, when you think about people who have done bad things to you, you think, well, I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And somebody said, that's a wonderful thing because it's like a dog chewing on a bone. I'm going to get back at him, this, I'm going to do that. And then pretty soon what you realize, the bone you're chewing on is your own leg. And my kids gave me a calendar with a different thought for every day. And this was the thought for July 7th this year. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. So when you forgive, you let yourself free. So think about that and getting things taken care of as the years go by. And another thing that he said is that you should do justice. That's in forgiveness. And you should love kindness. That's what I tried to say with the kids. Love is something, if you give it away, you'll keep on having more. And the more you give love, the more you will receive. It's like a magic penny. Hold it tight, and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have many. They'll roll all over the floor. One of the things that I found out in my later years is that when you give something away, you keep it. I used to say to my little girls, Pam and Sue, only what you give away do you ever really keep. And they'd say, Daddy, what do you mean? I say, I'm not sure, but I think you'll find out. And I think that's, in my life, when I give, and then when I've received very special things. So my daughter Pam gave me a book for my birthday called The Book of Joy. And it's a book by the Dalai Lama and Bishop Desmond Tutu. And the guy who wrote the book for them, he met with him a lot. He said, it's interesting, between a Buddhist, a Christian, and a Jew, we ought to get something right. So, and they talk about, you can't be human alone. People who try to get wind up and think they're, get a person wrapped up in himself is a pretty small package. He said, you have to be involved with another people in order to be human. And that's what things make a difference when we try that. That's loving, doing justice, loving kindness, and then walking humbly with God. Now, if you have a personal relationship with God, I was really impressed with the adult Sunday school class today. They're very articulate in the words that they spoke. They're very well spoken. So, but you have to be in touch with God. And so one of the things that I think back in when I was in seminary, and somebody said, when I preached a sermon out in Palm Springs, and the guy said, I was born 5 days after you did this, because this was about the 10th of November in 1953 when I heard this. And this was by Charles Whiston, who was a teacher, and he'd been a missionary in China. And he had this prayer for us, and I've been praying literally almost every day since then. And it's in your bulletin, so you can get it and he's going to put it on the title for me. It's, O God, in obedience to thy will, I give you myself, all that I am, all that I have, all that I hope to be. Take me from myself and use me as you will, where you will, when you will, and with whom you will, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And then this one was by Thomas Merton, a rather famous Trappist Catholic monk who wrote a book, Seven Story Mountain, but this is his from his book on the Desert Fathers. And he said this prayer, O God, help me not to overestimate my own virtuousness. Once a thing has happened, let it go. Help me to control my tongue and my belly. And then on the other part of it, do these four things and you will live through Christ our Lord. So I've kind of gotten into the habit of saying these every morning after I shower. And, of course, sometimes in the middle of the day and sometimes late at night when I'm trying to sleep, I think of these prayers and ask God to be with me. And so that's part of the thing, I think, that the prophet Micah was saying in walking humbly with God is to pay attention that God is present, is with us. And that's one of the strengths that keeps me going in my 87th year. So, but I'm so glad to come back and see this garden that a lot of people have taken care of to make sure that it's a very beautiful place in which we can smell the flowers and see the growth happen. And that's what God's world is all about. And your thing with children, I still remember Vacation Bible Schools here with Mrs. McCorkle. Carol, you remember Mrs. McCorkle? She had us bounce balls, and I can't remember why we did that, but we were bouncing balls all over the place. So, but still remember just good things. So my encouragement is to you that you do justice, forgive people if you need to, work on that relationship, you love kindness, give of love, and finally that you walk humbly with God. Shall we pray? God, it is good to be here. It is good to be here in your presence, where two or three are gathered together, your promise is you'd be with them. So we thank you for the history that goes behind these experiences. We thank you for these people here. Thank you for the goodness of life and the possibility it lays out ahead. Bless and guide us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Duke.
Okay.
That is encouraging. You know, we so often do not remember why we're here, I think. There's so many times where the world is telling us to build ourselves up. You know, look at me, look at this wonderful thing that I am. When we know that anything that we are is through the grace of God. And so walking humbly with our Lord. When I was in high school, I had an opportunity to be part of a group of students that went to down to Sacramento, and we got to meet the governor, and Governor Reagan. And while we all met, there were about 50 of us, I think. And then that evening, a lot of the kids went back to the hotel to swim and do other things. And about three of us were walking around the Capitol in California. The hall, there's one hall that's all these county exhibits. And we were pretty impressed. And these other two kids and I are walking around looking. And all of a sudden, a door opened out into that hallway. And it was, you didn't know there was a door there. And two guys stepped out that were dressed in black suits and looking down the hallways at both of us. And they looked very serious. And then Governor Reagan came out. And he looked down the hall and saw us and waved at us. Says, hi, boys, come on up. Let's talk. And, you know, I'm standing there and I can still remember the emotions of being right next to the governor. And who am I? I'm just a lowly high school student. But here's the governor of the whole state and the actor and, you know, all this other things running through my mind. And what am I doing here? On a daily basis, we ought to be experiencing some of those same emotions because we get to walk beside the living God. And when we acknowledge that, wow, how can we be anything but humble and walk humbly by the one who... Gary does this to me occasionally and scares me because all of a sudden there's stuff up there. Thanks, Gary. But all of a sudden, we recognize that whatever we are, whatever we have, is by the graciousness of God. So as we get ready to be dismissed for the day, let's go out and walk humbly with our Lord. Let us go out and recognize what is good and to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Father, we thank you that you grant us the privilege of walking humbly with you. You know, Father, I really appreciate this passage because so often we talk about following you and we should. But he wants us to walk with him as well. And following. What a privilege that is that the creator of the universe would allow me, the wretched individual that I am, to walk humbly with him. We thank you, Father, that you not only allow that but desire that. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for these words of encouragement and for Hugh being here today. We thank you for this past week and the miracles that we saw. Well, Father, we thank you that you are part and parcel in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would keep our eyes open to follow your will and to walk humbly beside you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.